solar-powered audio Bible, because so many of the people who live in the ends of the earth, or maybe even in mission fields that you're currently working, they're oral learners and they do things in groups. So they gather together and they listen to the treasure. We've made it real easy, friends, for you to connect with people by sending the treasure. And we call it Change Your World. It's simply taking loose change that you might have in your pocket, putting it inside of a Change Your World box. And as soon as this is filled up with your loose change, nickels, dimes, and quarters, as this filled up, it turns into a treasure. And so we want to encourage you to pray about getting your own Change Your World box, participating as an individual, as a family, or maybe your entire church body would participate so that you can be a part of impacting the ends of the earth. God bless you.
Good morning. Let's stand together this morning. We're going to open with Victory in Jesus.
Old, old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his precious blood's atoning, and I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love
Street. It is great to see you here this morning. It's another exciting day as we have some people that are getting baptized this morning. And I'm excited for their testimonies to be shared today. And as we go through the service this morning here, I got one goal for each one of us. And here's that one goal: that you could see God in some way this morning. And boy, to start with victory in Jesus. If you've never experienced the victory of Jesus in your life, then we would love for you to be able to experience victory in Jesus today. Well, if you're here this morning visiting with us, and you haven't had a chance to fill out a visitor card, we're really glad to have you here with us, but we'd like to have a record of your visit. So if you're visiting and haven't filled out a card, could you just slip your hand up in the air so we could get a card to you and have a record of that visit? We have all these little kids that are here every week. They just want more literature, right? Something to color on. So, all right. Well, if you'll take your bulletin, we have a few announcements to go through. The youth group are doing a fundraiser. This helps them as they go to their missions work that they do during the summer with Life Changers in Detroit. And this fundraiser is, they are selling Super Bowl subs, okay? And just if you don't know, there's actually a football game next week played called the Super Bowl.
What?
Yeah. And so what the youth do is they put together your lunch for you. How does that sound? And just from experience, those subs are really good, okay? They're very good. And so there are two ways that this works. First way is pre-order your subs in the lobby with Autumn Lewis, and she'll make sure everything is taken care of there. The subs will be made, all prepared for you next Sunday, and you can pick them up as you leave. Okay, the second way that it works, you don't have to leave. You can actually stop and have dinner with many other people that are going to stay and eat their subs in the gym. And so that's the two ways that it works. And so I'd like to encourage you, if you'd like to be part of that, it's a great fundraiser for the kids, but also it's good food. And then also, the teens are right now putting together a murder mystery dinner. And they've done this last year. They took a break from it, but they're back to doing it this year. And I'm excited. I'm glad they're getting back to it because it is a blast, all right? And so I want to encourage all of the adults in our church to consider purchasing tickets. They're going to be available after the Super Bowl. But want to make sure that adults, that you're thinking about this, they will be doing the murder mystery dinner on Saturday, March 19th, okay? So keep your calendar clear so you can be part of that. It's a wonderful time, and the food is always very good as well. We have our world mission. We had the video before the service started. Change Your World what we're doing is we're collecting change in these clear boxes that you can pick up at the Welcome Center. If you fill up one of those boxes with change, it will reach 144 people with the gospel. What we do is, what they do with those change boxes is they purchase a solar-powered Bible. They take that down to a remote location where they don't read. It's a community, a ethnic group that does not read, but they get the Bible in their own language, and they're able to listen to it, and they will affect 144 people with the gospel. Now, our goal as a church is to fill up 150 of those boxes. If we do that, we will reach over 21,000 people with the gospel. And our goal is to have these all filled up and turned in by February 21st, okay? So, want to encourage you to pick up one of those change jars if you already have. Be filling that because we will be collecting those in 4 short weeks. Home plate is coming up already. Home plate is where we take a group down to a Tigers game. We get to hear a couple of the Tigers speak, and it's a really great fun event the whole time together. And so the tickets are $34 a person, and you have until Sunday, March 20th to purchase your tickets. And then also, we are in need of people to share their testimony at half times of our Upward basketball games. and you say, well, I don't like to speak in front of people, especially for a long period of time, well, good, because you only have 3 to 5 minutes, okay? And we would love for you to just go in, and if you take 2 minutes, it's fine. But just to get in and share your testimony, throughout the day in the gym, we'll have anywhere from 150 people in the gym at one time to sometimes we only have 50, 60 people in the gym, depending on what age group is playing and everything. But it'd be a great opportunity for you. So there are sign-up sheets at the Welcome Center, and please take advantage of this. It's a great chance for you to share your story of what God is doing in your life with other people. All right. Well, I'm excited this morning to continue with Joseph. We're almost getting to the good part of the story, all right? He's gone about as low as you can go, except for this morning, we're going to end with him going even lower, if that's possible, right? But here's what's so great about what we've been looking at. Joseph was a man who thrived no matter what his circumstances. And I want to encourage you this morning, God can help you to thrive through all of your life circumstances. Let's go to the Lord together in prayer. Father, I thank you for this morning. Thank you for all that you do. I thank you for being a God who loves and cares for each one of us. I thank you, God, that you have plans. And your plans for us are, they're always in our favor, even when it seems like life is not going for us. And so, Lord, for those today that are struggling with, I know, Lord, we have some in our congregation that are struggling with cancer today. I pray that you would be with them in their struggle, that they would not only know that they have a God who loves them, but they would experience your watch care over them. We pray, for Lord, for those who have experienced loss of loved ones, we pray that your grace would be enough in their life right now. And as you wrap your gentle and comforting arms around them, that they truly would experience joy through their hardship. Lord, for those who may be going through difficulty with other health issues, or Lord, maybe with job issues, maybe with relationship issues, Lord, I thank you that you're a God that cares about every facet of our lives. And so this morning, we just hand it all over to you. Sometimes our life trials are more than we can bear, but God, you are big enough to handle it all. Thank you for being that kind of God to us. So now, Lord, as we continue this service, let it be all for your praise and glory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Let's take a moment and greet those around us.
We can make our way back to our seats and have the ushers come forward for the offertory.
All right, let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this opportunity to be in your house this morning. We just ask that you just be with the morning service and ask you be with pastor as he brings forth the message. Father, we just ask that you just be with this offering that we take, that you'll be with each gift and each giver, and that we can see it be used to further your kingdom. And we pray this now in your son's precious and holy name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, choir. They're going to clear out so they don't get wet. Well, this morning as we are able to have these baptisms, we want to make it very clear that nobody that's being baptized today is receiving any salvation or anything. They've already trusted Christ as their Savior, and that's why we're baptizing them. And the reason that we're doing it this way, it'd be a lot easier to sprinkle a little bit of water on them or pour a little water on top of them. It's because the word baptism means dip or immerse. And the reason that we are dunking today is because that's what the biblical mode is. Jesus went down into the water and came up out of the water. And every person who is baptized has followed that same example in Scripture. And so we want to do this the way that God has prescribed in His Word. And so it's my pleasure this morning to introduce to you Rebecca Welch. And Becca's really nervous, so we're just hoping she doesn't puke in the tank. So Becca, she can sing in front of you, but to stand here like this is just nerve-wracking. So Becca told me that a year ago Easter, during our Easter production, that the Lord spoke to her heart, and she trusted Jesus Christ as her Savior. At the end, when we prayed, and I encouraged people to pray with me if they wanted to trust Jesus Christ as her Savior, and last Easter, Rebecca trusted Christ as her Savior. Is that right, Rebecca?
Yes.
All right. And so we've been talking about baptism for a while, and she wants to make her faith in Jesus Christ known. And that's why she's being baptized today, to follow the Lord in obedience and to let her faith known. And so, Rebecca, have you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior?
Yes.
Rebecca, based upon your profession of faith, I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, buried with him in baptism, raised in the likeness of his resurrection. Let's pray together. Lord God, we thank you for Rebecca. Thank you for her testimony of faith in you. Thank you, Lord, for reaching out and saving her soul. And now, Lord, as she grows in her faith, I pray that we as a church would embrace her and love her and help her. That, Lord, she would find every encouragement that is needed to walk through this life. Lord, just thank you for her obedience today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Congratulations, Becca.
I didn't puke.
And next we have a husband and wife together, and I told him, yeah, we can do this together. So we have Stephanie and Tyler Peebles, and we're going to let Stephanie go first in sharing her testimony.
All right, I asked Jesus to come into my life when I was a little girl. My parents helped me do that, and they had brought me to church and Sunday school every Sunday and youth group every Wednesday night. So it kind of became a routine for me. And I kind of developed the attitude that I could basically do what I wanted, because at the end of the day, I knew I was saved and I knew I was going to heaven. So as long as I was in church every Sunday, that was good enough. Well, it wasn't until recently that God actually transformed somebody's life, the person that was closest to me, and that was my husband, Tyler. And I watched Tyler go from a good guy to an absolutely amazing guy who was on fire for God. And when you watch that, that is so encouraging. And so while God was transforming his life, he actually grabbed a hold of mine, and he was like, you know, church on Sunday is awesome, but you need to take your faith into your own hands, and you need to go out into the world and tell people that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. And that's why I'm here today, because I'm ready to fully commit my life to God.
Go ahead, Tyler.
All right. It wasn't until I met my wife. Don't let her give me all the glory on that. I was on a different path than what most people would be said that they would be on. And I actually, last year, around fall time, that was when I asked Jesus to come into my heart and realized that what I was missing out on and everything that he created, and yeah, it's all my wife and God at that point. So.
All right. So. Stephanie, do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Stephanie, based upon your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Buried with him in baptism, raised in the likeness of his resurrection. And Tyler, you know that you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your personal Savior?
Yes, sir.
Tyler, based upon your profession of faith, go ahead and grab my arm. I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Buried with him in baptism, raised in the likeness of his resurrection. Let's pray for Tyler and Stephanie. Lord God, I thank you that this couple has made this public statement of their faith this morning. Thank you, Lord, for their faith and trust in you. And Lord, I just pray that you would continue to help them to grow, and as they have a desire to please you with their lives. Today, they've taken a very big step. And so, Lord, for the rest of their lives, may they continue to take great strides for you. And Lord, I pray that 12th Street will be right alongside of them, helping them and engaging them with what is good and right. And so, Lord, we just ask for your rich blessings on Tyler and Stephanie. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Congratulations. It is done as the Lord has commanded, and yet there is room.
Together, and we'll sing this morning. Let no one caught in sin remain inside the lie of inward shame. We fix our eyes upon the cross and run to him who showed great love and bled for us. Freely you bled for us. Christ is risen from the dead, trampling over death by death. Come awake, come awake, come and rise up from the grave. Christ is risen from the dead, we are one with him again. Come awake, come awake, come and rise up from the grave. Beneath the weight of all our sin, he
Rising, he just
Jesus is my living, he loved me, dying, he saved me, buried, he carried my sins far away, rising, he justified.
Father, we just pray that your spirit would be in this house this morning, that you would pour yourself out on our pastor this morning and open our hearts and our minds that we might receive what you have for us. And Father, I just pray you'd forgive us when we failed you. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
At this time, we'll dismiss the children to Children's Church. Let's take our Bibles and turn to Genesis chapter 39. Genesis 39. And I've just got a little piece of helpful advice this morning. Never criticize someone until you've walked a mile in their shoes. That way, when you criticize them, you'll be a mile away and you'll have their shoes. I'm just kidding. Genesis 39 and verse 20. It says, the keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand. I'm sorry, I'm reading the wrong verse. Verse 20. And Joseph's master took him and put him into prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound. And he was there in the prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. And whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. Let me catch you up on what's been happening with the story of Joseph. Joseph was 17 years old. He had a coat of many colors. His idea of a good communication with his brothers was to tell them about his dreams. And in his dreams, they bowed down and worshipped him. And one day he went to fulfill his father's wishes in checking on the brothers to see how things were going. And so he traveled 60 miles to a land called Shechem. And while he was there, he was looking for his brothers. They weren't there. So he went 12 more miles to Dothan. And when he got to Dothan, his brothers saw him coming, and they said, let's kill him. And finally, they decided not to kill him. So what they did is they took his coat of many colors, they ripped it, they put animal blood on it, and then they sold Joseph to some traveling merchants. Those traveling merchants sold Joseph to a man named Potiphar. Joseph was a slave in Potiphar's house, but everything Joseph did turned wonderful. Everything he touched turned to gold. Joseph was blessed by God because Joseph never left his relationship with God. And so Joseph was promoted to the head of Potiphar's house. So much so that Potiphar didn't even know what he owned. He would sit down and eat, and he knew he had bread in front of him. He knew he had food in front of him because he trusted Joseph with everything. But then while Potiphar was away, Potiphar's wife sent all the men out of the house, and she tried to seduce Joseph, and she did that day after day. And finally, one day, she was able to grab his coat. And while he was running away from her, she screamed and she said, Joseph has tried to rape me. And so when her husband got home, she accused Joseph of that, and Joseph was thrown into prison. Now, all Joseph has done is good. All he's tried to do is do right. And he's gone from being father's favorite son to a slave to a prisoner. First, I want to look at where is Joseph when he's in prison. In verse 20 in chapter 39, it says that he was put in a place where the king's prisoners were bound. And in chapter 40 in verse 3, two more people will be put into prison. It says, and he, the king, put them in ward in the house of the captain of the guard into the prison, the place where Joseph was bound. If we go back to chapter 37 and verse 36, it tells us that Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh's and captain of the guard. So when Joseph was put into prison, where the king's prisoners were kept, he was put into the basement of Potiphar's house. Because Potiphar is the captain of the guard. And it's at his house where they kept all the prisoners. So Joseph went from head of the house to the basement in prison. Could you just imagine being Joseph every single day when you woke up? There's a reminder. You were unlawfully put there, and right above you was the liar that put you there. I wonder how many of us would walk away from God and say, God, I can't do this. This is too hard. And when we think about being put in prison, sometimes we think, well, you know, maybe it wasn't so bad. Well, in Psalm 105, it's describing the account of Joseph. And in verse 17, it says, he sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant, whose feet they hurt with fetters. He was laid in iron. So when Joseph was put in prison, it wasn't like, oh, Joseph, here's your own room. They locked his feet in iron fetters. They chained him to the wall. They inflicted pain on him. So not only is he in prison with the people who, or the person who falsely accused him, living right above him, but now they're inflicting physical harm to him. And for a lot of us, we get to this point in our life and we think, God, I've been trying, and you just keep sending me and feeding me disappointment. And a lot of us, we just say, that's it, I'm done. But not Joseph. Look in chapter 40, in verse 1. It came to pass after these things that the butler of the king of Egypt and his baker had offended their lord, the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was wroth against two of his officers, against the chief of the butlers and against the chief of the bakers. And he put them in ward in the house of the captain of the guard into the prison, the place where Joseph was bound. So he puts them in Potiphar's house, in the basement, in the prison meant for the king's prisoners. Now, these two men, the butler and the baker, I don't know what happened with the candlestick maker. He's not in the story. But the butler and the baker, both of them somehow offended the king, Pharaoh. I don't know how they offended him. I've read, there are several history books that try to give more insight into these stories. They're called Targums, written by Jewish rabbis. And this one that I read said that they allowed a fly to be in the king's meal. And so that's why. Another one thought that maybe they tried to poison the king. All right? Well, what we're talking about with the butler and the baker is one of the most highly ranking officials in the kingdom because he's the one that Pharaoh trusts to prepare his meals. He's a very high-ranking person. But the highest-ranking person, the man most closely associated with the king, his closest confidant would be the butler because he's the cupbearer. He's the one who tastes the food, tastes the drink, and makes sure everything's okay before the king eats or drinks it. Well, the butler and the baker were in bad graces with the king for whatever reason. They are put into the prison. And there's Joseph bound there with them. But look at verse 4 in chapter 40. And the captain of the guard, that's Potiphar. Chapter 37, verse 36, lets us know the captain of the guard is Potiphar. The captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them. So Potiphar took the most responsible man he knew to serve these two high-ranking officials who are in the king's prison. Now, before all this had happened, the keeper of the prison, maybe like a warden, or maybe more of an officer in charge, that officer in charge would have known Joseph because Joseph had been in charge of all the affairs of Potiphar's house, which would have included the prison. Now, Joseph, when he's put into the prison, there's this guy that used to work for him that's now in charge of Joseph. So there's already a relationship there. Joseph, as a prisoner, does everything right. And you go, how do you gain favor as a prisoner? Somehow, Joseph in that prison was elevated to the status where the warden, the officer in charge, had no clue what's going on in the prison. He's trusting Joseph with all of it. That's a pretty remarkable thing, right? Especially for a guy who was accused of assaulting your boss's wife. And he still put Joseph in charge of everything. But now when these two men are put into prison, we don't know how long Joseph has been in prison up to this point. Okay? I'm going to give you a hint. He's going to be about 28 years old, maybe 27 years old, Joseph, at this point. And we don't know how long he's been in prison, but when Potiphar puts these two men in prison, Joseph is the man that he trusts to take care of them. Because if they get released from prison, they're right back into their position of power. And so Potiphar's trying to keep good relationships with these guys. And he makes Joseph in charge of them. And then in verse 4, it says they continued a season in the ward. That means they were there about a year, okay? They're about a year. We don't know. I mean, a season could mean days. It's a very relative term, and there's really no way to tell exactly how long, but most probably a year. And in verse 5, it says, they dreamed a dream, both of them, each man his dream in one night, each man according to the interpretation of his dream, the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, which were bound in the prison. And Joseph came in unto them in the morning and looked upon them, and behold, they were sad. And he asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him in the ward of his lord's house, saying, why do you look so sad today? And they said to him, we have dreamed a dream. There's no interpreter of it. And Joseph said to them, do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me them, I ask you. And the chief butler told his dream to Joseph and said to him, in my dream, behold, a vine was before me. And in the vine were three branches, and it was as though it budded, and her blossoms shot forth, and the clusters thereof brought forth ripe grapes. And Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes, pressed them into the cup, and I gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. And Joseph said to him, this is the interpretation of it. The three branches are 3 days, yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up your head and restore you unto your place, and you shall deliver Pharaoh's cup into his hand after the former manner when you were his butler. But think on me when it shall be well with you, and show kindness, I pray, unto me, and make mention of me to Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house. For I indeed was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews, and here also have I done nothing that they should put me into the dungeon. All right, let's stop right there. So Joseph is able to listen to the dream of the butler. He's able to interpret that dream. We'll come back to that. But let's focus on what Joseph said right there. I was sold. Joseph knows he's been wronged, right? And he says, I've done nothing wrong, and I've been put into this dungeon. But has it affected his walk with God? Look back in chapter 39 and verse 21. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy. Even though he's wrongly accused and thrown into a prison, a dungeon, the Lord was with Joseph. You know what that tells us? Joseph responded to the Lord. And the Lord showed him mercy. And then in verse 23, the very end of it, everything that he did, the Lord was with Joseph, and everything that he did, the Lord made it to prosper. Okay, that word prosper there, exact same English word, if we were to go Hebrew to English and convey the correct meaning, thrive. Everything Joseph did, God caused him to thrive. Sure, he's in prison, but he's as high a ranking a prisoner as you can be. He's found as much favor as you can possibly have as a prisoner. And so as Joseph talks to the butler, he says, listen, I'm interpreting this dream for you. In 3 days, you're going to get your job back. When you see the king, when you see Pharaoh, tell him that I interpreted your dream. Tell him about me, that I've been falsely accused, and get me out of here. It's not like Joseph enjoyed being a prisoner. He says, get me out of here. Now, if you're the butler, don't you think you kind of owe it to Joseph to pass the word along? Let's keep reading here. And in verse 16, when the chief baker saw that the interpretation was good, he's like, oh, I like the way you interpret dreams. He said to Joseph, I also was in my dream, and behold, I had three white baskets on my head. And in the uppermost basket, there was all manner of basket meat or baked meats for Pharaoh. And the birds did eat them out of the basket on my head. And Joseph answered and said, this is the interpretation thereof. The three baskets are 3 days. In 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head from off you and shall hang you on a tree. And the birds shall eat your flesh from off you. He doesn't say, hey, when he's putting you on the gallows, remember to put in a good word for me. He doesn't say anything about that. Verse 20, came to pass the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast unto all his servants, and he lifted up the head of the chief butler and of the chief baker among his servants. And he restored the chief butler unto his butlership again, and he gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker as Joseph had interpreted to them. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. Joseph shows this guy a real kindness. The guy is wondering, am I going to get my head cut off? Am I going to be, you know, hanged? What's going to happen to me? And Joseph says, it's okay, you're going to be restored to your position. Now, he wasn't so kind to the baker, right? Now, think about the interpretation of dreams. Joseph isn't making up what will take place in the future. He's only interpreting what God allows him to understand about the future. And the butler was restored. Joseph needed a good word put in. He desires an audience with the king. Because remember, Joseph had a dream when he was 17. He had two of them. And in his dreams, his family bowed down to him. And if that dream is ever going to come true, he's got to get out of the dungeon. And he needs to be able to have an audience with Pharaoh. And so that's what he desires. But the butler forgot him. And we'll see next week, 2 years, he's forgotten. Disappointment, disappointment, disappointment. Let's summarize this account here. These are the notes that are in your bulletin. First of all, false accusation revealed strong character. False accusation revealed strong character. When you are falsely accused of things, what does it reveal about you? With Joseph, it just revealed strong character. He continued to work hard. He continued to do right. He continued to have faith in God. Nothing deterred him from that path. And false accusation only revealed his strong character. Well, what does it reveal in you? When false accusation is sent your way, what does it reveal about you? Secondly, Bitter disappointment brought out impeccable work ethic. Bitter disappointment brought out impeccable work ethic. So he's worked hard as a slave to be the head of the household. Still a slave, but head of the household. It's pretty good. Trusted with everything in his master's hand. And then he gets falsely accused, and he gets bitterly disappointed, and he's thrown into prison. And in prison, the only thing that being put into prison did in him is it made him work harder. Okay, he used to work upstairs, right? The top of the company. He was the CEO. Now, he's the lowest part of the company you could possibly be. And he's lost his freedom. And all he has to do is look up and know that where he used to be is feet away. But instead of him getting bitter, and instead of him just throwing up his hands and just, all right, I got iron on my feet, I'm chained to a wall, I'm just going to sit and pout. You know, he could have gone into and sang the song, nobody likes me, everybody hates me, I'm going to eat some worms. He could have done that. He could have just given up. But instead, he shows an impeccable work ethic where he just works harder. And everything he does is noticed. And they go, wow, this prisoner works harder than the rest of the paid staff. Let's put him in charge. I guarantee you he took a massive pay cut from being head of Pharaoh's Potiphar's household to being a prisoner. Because he probably went from some pay to no pay. He went from some provision to whatever kind of stuff they throw at prisoners in the dungeon. And yet Joseph thrived. So even if you lose your position, you don't gain the higher status that you maybe deserved. Or maybe even worse, you get demoted. Or heaven forbid, you lose your job. Don't quit. Don't give up. Joseph sets a wonderful example of how we should act, of what should take place in us. It should bring out in you a stronger work ethic. Thirdly, previous experience enabled confidence in dream recognition. I don't know. If someone came to me and said, I had a dream, that's why I'm upset, I would say, well, try to dream a happier dream tomorrow night. Maybe eat something different before you go to bed and you'll have better dreams. But see, Joseph had previous experience where he was given a dream and God had shown him what that dream meant. Now, had it come true in his life? No, the opposite of that dream had come true. But it didn't matter. He knew what God had said. And he knew that God interpreted his dream to him, and he knew that God could interpret their dreams through him. Even though Joseph had not gotten the desired results, he still knew what he knew. And he communicated on God's behalf to those other people. Here's what Joseph had. Joseph had wisdom. Wisdom, this is not in your notes, this is bonus. Wisdom is applying your knowledge. Joseph knew God was with him. He applied the knowledge that God was with him, and he showed wisdom. Understanding is applying your wisdom to your situation. So in understanding, he said, okay, I know that my God is with me. And since my God is with me, I will not quit. I will continue to work hard. And when I have an opportunity to speak on God's behalf, I will continue to do so because God is still going to use me. And so when these guys have these dreams, he's willing to step right up and speak on God's behalf for them. Fourthly, success is followed with cruel neglect. He was successful in interpreting the dream to the right person who would have the audience of Pharaoh, a very influential and high-ranking man, someone who could go over Potiphar's head and say, let's get this guy out of the dungeon. And he has this great moment of success, especially when on Pharaoh's birthday 3 days later, he lets the guy back into his position. All of a sudden, it's like, woo! Not only did I interpret the dream, but it worked! And what is that success met with? More disappointment. He's neglected for 2 years. He's forgotten. So you get passed over and passed over and passed over for what you think should be yours. You think that you're not gaining in life like you should. You're not gaining in your job like you should. You're not gaining in your marriage like you should. You're not gaining in your relationships like you should. Let me tell you something. Sometimes success is met with cruel neglect. Don't quit. Keep on. So I've got three questions for you. Do you know how to hear from God? Joseph knew how to hear from God. And it wasn't a voice that told him that he was always going to get ahead in life. It was a voice that every time it seemed like life pushed him further behind, said, it's okay, I am with you. Keep going. Do you know how to hear from God? Well, here, what do we see from Joseph in hearing from God? You have to have faith in who God is. If you don't have faith in who God is, you can't hear from God. See, if all you do is you say, I just don't think that there's any way that God could speak to me or that God cares about me individually, you know what? You're not going to hear from him. Because you don't have faith in who he is. Before you're going to hear from him, you have to have some faith that says, God, I want to hear from you. Secondly, you have to follow the truth of what God does. The truth of what God was doing in Joseph was God was going to give him an audience with Pharaoh. It was just going to take 13 years. He was going to have to go through deceit. He was going to have to be betrayed. He was going to have to be lied about. He just had to be willing to experience the journey. But what Joseph knew was as long as he followed the truth of God, God would bring about the right outcome. And you might look at me and say, yeah, I'm a lot older than Joseph. And my experience has been much more than 13 years. So how in the world? Well, maybe your experience is going to be more like Moses's, 40 years in a desert. Maybe your experience is going to be more like other people who had greater periods of time that they had to wait. Maybe like Abraham's, where he had to wait 99 years for God to fulfill the promise of a son in his life. There's no time limit on any of this. But how do you know if you're hearing from God? When you follow the truth of what God does. That's when you hear from him. Did God put Joseph in prison? No, but he allowed it. And the truth is, prison was the only way he would ever get an audience with Pharaoh. Thirdly, finding assurance in your position with God. That's how you're going to hear from him. It's when you find assurance in your position with him. See, my position with God is different than my position with anybody else on this planet. Because my position with other people, it's always moving and shaping. And it's really slippery. My position with God is settled, not because I've settled it, but because he's settled it. Because I have a mediator between me and God, and his name is Jesus Christ, and he speaks on my behalf. And he says, this is my child. This is my saint who I have redeemed with my blood. And so no matter what's going on in life, I know where my position is with God. But maybe you don't hear from God because you don't know your position with God. Or maybe you have no position with him. Maybe you're outside of him. You know what God wants from you this morning? He wants you simply to trust in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. There are over 50 historical accounts, not just biblical accounts, historical accounts that describe the crucifixion of Jesus. History tells us it's true. But I don't need history to tell me it's true because I have the Bible that does say that it is true. And here's what you have to do in order to know that you're in the right position with God is you just have to have enough faith to say, I believe what God says. I trust it. And receive the gift of salvation, Jesus dying on the cross in your place for your sin. Receive his salvation. And he puts you in the right position with himself. Do you know how to hear from God? Takes faith in who God is, following the truth of what God does, and finding assurance in your position with God. I got another question for you. Have you felt neglected for good you have done? You ever done good for God, and then you feel like, every time I do something good for God, it feels like I get neglected, or I get pushed down. And if that's true, it's okay that you feel that way. Because Joseph felt that way, right? And so I just want to take you back to our theme verses for this year, Philippians 4:11-13. I have learned that whatever state I am in, therewith to be content. I can be made low, I can be made high. I can suffer need, I can have abundance. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. If you feel neglected for good you've done, it's okay to feel that way. You just need to understand God can do all things. And he can take what you feel neglected and he can turn that around for your good. Just like he does with Joseph. And the third question is, have you ever doubted God's promises because of your experiences? Have you ever doubted God's promises because of your experiences? I think probably most of us can say, yeah, from time to time, I doubt God's promises because of what I'm experiencing in my life. You know, in Hebrews 11:1, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. When we think of substance and we think of evidence, we think of things we can see and things we can touch and feel. But here's what God says. No, faith is that substance and faith is that evidence. And so what we have to have is the same thing that Joseph had. We have to have a faith in God that no matter what's happening, God is still in control. God does not make mistakes. About 5 or 6 years ago, Rachel and I were, it's about 3 or 4 years before we came here. I sent my resume out. There were some things going on, and I sent my resume out. I was looking, God, where do you want me? And there's a church in Lansing, and it seemed like a perfect job. All the position had to do was preach. All the administration was taken over by other pastors. All of the visitation was by other pastors. I mean, all the only position was preaching 3 services on Sunday mornings. And I was like, that sounds like the best job ever. And so I applied for it, and I got to a second interview, I got to a third interview, and I was getting really excited about it. And then I got word that I didn't get it. And I was just like, oh, God, greatest position ever. Get all the joys of the ministry without having to deal with anybody. I'm joking. That's in jest. And you know what? For a moment, it was disappointing. For a moment, it was, because then I had to go back to the situation we were in where we were dealing with budget at the time, and dealing with budget was just awful, and it was just heart-wrenching, and we had $250,000 in the bank, and we were trying to figure out how could we save more money, and I'm like, what are we doing? And I just didn't get God's plan. 6 years later, I see God's plan. God's plan was so much better than my plan. God cares about every single little thing. Last summer we were on vacation. We stopped at Mall of America. My daughter, Jenna, all my kids, they took out their money. They had envelopes with money in it. And they all bought slushies at the mall. They sat there at a countertop and they ate their slushies. Then we went and we rode a bunch of rides at the Mall of America. And we were getting ready to leave. We stopped to buy t-shirts and sweatshirts because they all wanted a t-shirt from the Mall of America. And she's looking for her money and her money was gone. We looked in mom's purse, because that's where you keep things that you don't want to lose. And it wasn't in there. And so we stopped and we prayed and we said, God, somebody could have stolen this money. It was $65 in an envelope, cash. But God, help us find it. And I'll never forget, the largest mall in the world, right? Or at least in America, the Mall of America, busy. So I said, where's the last place you had it? She said, when I bought my slushie. So I ran back to that countertop where they ate their slushies. And it wasn't there. And on the way there, I'm like, it's going to be sitting there because God wants to prove how much he loves my daughter to her. He wants her to know how much he cares. And I get there, and it's not there. So I go to the counter where they were selling them, and I said, when you guys were cleaning up, did you see an envelope over on this countertop? And the worker's like, nope, we haven't seen anything. So I start walking back. I called Rachel on the phone. I'm like, oh, it's not here. And the manager taps me on the shoulder. And the manager says, what are you looking for? I said, well, it's an envelope, and it says Jenna Stout, $65 on it. He goes, really? He reaches into his back pocket and hands me an envelope, Jenna Stout, and it has $73 in it. It's probably because I labeled it and I can't count. But even when we feel that God is not with us, we have to trust that he is. For the rest of my daughter's life, God helped her find her vacation money. God took care of it and protected it. And you know, no matter what goes on in your life, you have a God who cares. And you have a God who is with you. And so stand by him. Have faith in him. Trust him. Let's pray together. Lord God, thank you for who you are. I thank you for Joseph. I thank you, Lord, for this account that you've given to us. A real historical happening. And there's so much in it, Lord, that we can look at and we can learn from. And Lord, even though none of us want to face difficulty, we can all face our difficulties with confidence because of who you are. And so, Lord, if anyone here does not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, I pray that in the quietness of these moments, they would call out to you and say, Lord God, please save me. Lord, you will. Lord, if anyone here, their confidence in you, their faith, it's just been shaken. They haven't lived with the assurance of their position with you. I pray this morning, Lord, that they would be able to take care of that and know where they are with you. Thank you, God, that our circumstances will never dictate who you are in our life. And so, Lord, use this closing song for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. During this song, if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, I'm going to be standing here at the front. I would love to either talk to you myself or have you talk with someone else, so that you can trust Christ. Or maybe this morning during the service, you did trust Christ. We'd love to hear about it. And I would invite you to just come and just tell me that you have trusted Christ. And if you're struggling with something in your life and you need to do business with God, the altar's open. If you need to do something, talk to God, you're invited to come and do so. But let's stand together as we close out our service this morning. morning, Mary Priest and Rebecca Welch have come for membership. And so if we can have a first and a second to bring them in as members. We have our first and second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Welcome to 12th Street Baptist Church. And if you'll go to the back, and we'll extend our right hand of fellowship to you in the back. All right. Boy, this week I hope you just go out and you conquer life, okay? Don't let life conquer you, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Lord God, thank you for being the great God, the one and true, the high and the holy, the just and the strong. So Lord, to you we pray. And everything we do this week, Lord, help us to commit ourselves to you. I pray that the best workers in Kalamazoo, Portage, and the surrounding area would come from this place right here. Because that's the kind of God you are. And I pray that the employees, or employers, the businesses that are represented here in this congregation would be wildly successful because of the God behind the people who do the work. So now to him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above whatever we could ask or think, be glory and honor and dominion both now and forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Lord bless you.